You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
What's the reasoning behind maybe changing the approach to the starting five?
He told me I might start tomorrow.
Good. Where? What position?
I can play the two.
So where's Kawhi playing at the three, I guess, starting
man,
tomorrow?
Kawhi will come off for me, man.
Okay, he'll be off the bench.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Tracking the whereabouts of Kyle Dubas and William Nylander.
Wow.
Have to find out what's going on over there in Switzerland.
You know what this reminds me of? Is remember when Babs was like, you know, the hot UFA? I remember
the flight plans.
There were people, I think it was like Maple Leaf Hot Stove or something, had like his, there's a private jet taking off. It's an MLSE, like tail flag. And it's flying to Detroit.
The man
like,
with brown hair getting on the plane.
Yeah, like it's crazy the amount of like CSI reporting that's going on right
well,
now.
Well, shout out to Lance Hornby who broke this whole story open. But I have a feeling Lance just tracked some guy on Twitter because this came out yesterday. And my instincts were to avoid bringing it up on the air. Because between 4 and 7 p.m., at some point it showed up on Twitter.
Right.
And we all saw it. There was some guy over in Switzerland who just sent out a tweet saying, I'm at this airport, and someone just called up William Nylander. A flight just flew in from Stockholm, trying to connect the dots, and there were no connections to Toronto, and no one really understood why it happened. But 24 hours later, you find out, well, Nylander's in Switzerland for some reason, and Dubas is over there. I have no idea why it had to be in Switzerland.
It kind of seems fitting that it's a neutral, like a neutral country, right? Like that's where people squirrel their money away.
Well, and that's where the whole the MLSE Lou radar is going off. I was speaking to a good buddy of mine down here. He's like, I wonder if they're going to say, listen, it's $5.5 million a year.
Bunch of money in an account.
The cap's got double back.
Exactly.
Cash.
The cap hit is going to be $5.5 million for 8 years. But here's an extra 25 schmil. We're going to put in the Swiss bank account. And it's yours. Wouldn't that be a great, like, Lou Lamoriello type of move?
Be an unreal story.
I've actually wondered that. Like, in contract negotiations, like, you could say to a guy, we'll give you $8 million, but in your backyard, there's a hole near the fence, and there's $10 million in it.
Like, yeah, the old Pablo Escobar. We're just going to dig a hole, and we're going to plant $3 million cash in there.
That's have to have happened in sports, don't you think?
It happens in college sports all the time.
It happens in junior
under the
hockey.
Table
How many
junior
stories
hockey.
Have you heard?
Yeah, but couldn't it be like in the cap era, wouldn't you think it would be like, we'll give you eight, but
wink,
there's a hole, go find it, and in that hole is, I don't know how much money.
Okay, but, here's a, and I'm
or
not
just
lying.
A guy's going to meet you for lunch, and there's going to be a briefcase, and he's going to leave and grab the briefcase, and you'll like what's in it.
Okay, so here's...
Can't that happen?
Here's a legitimate question for both of you guys because you know this market better than anybody. If that somehow did happen, let's just say.
Mary Swanson duffel bag in Zurich.
But like let's just say something just for the sake of it.
Swimmy, Swami,
a scribe found out here. Do you think they would hide it because they wouldn't want to disrupt? Like, you know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying.
Like, do you think if Simmons found out like that, you know?
No, Steve would break it wide open.
Best Chuck would break
it. Yes, they would win a Pulitzer if they did that, if they broke that story open. That there's money in a Swiss bank account.
I feel like that one would get buried for like 18 months and allow
the only two people that would bury it are in this room. And one is you and the other is me.
I would bury it because I wouldn't care.
I don't.
I think it'd be creative.
We have no journalistic
exactly.
integrity.
Like we,
you know, this is not 60 Minutes.
No, we
you know?
Don't.
I would do it for Kawhi. If it was like Kawhi's going to stick around and he's going to get the max, but they're also going to give him, you know, real estate and and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can.
It does make you wonder, has it ever even been thought of before? Like, I know every GM, every owner in pro sports, they put forth this front of integrity and principles and we're going to do it the right way and the CBA says it. Has anybody in the history of the cap era in any sport just gone up to a player and said, listen, off the record between you and me, I've got a duffel bag of cash. I'm leaving it over here.
I know.
Let's work out a deal.
I know. I don't know.
I would do it.
Major
I would
sports.
Do it. I, especially in a salary cap era, I would say, look, we can give you this much, But if you go into that coffee shop and go into that dumpster, there's something in there that you'll like. And it's $20 million.
It's not Dale Donuts either.
Is that technically illegal though? Like, would the cops be involved? Would that be like FBI in the States and the Mounties involved up here? How would that work?
The thing is, everybody likes winning, and I think crazy ideas have crossed people's mind.
Okay,
but if you're the GM of a team and you actually came up with that idea, what would be the ramifications?
Well, the ramifications from the league would be catastrophic. Oh, dude, you would lose 10 first-round picks. You'd be fined $100 million.
Didn't it happen to Lou? Didn't New Jersey get stung for a first-rounder on the Kovalchuk stuff?
Yes, but that was...
They left a bag for him, I think.
No, I think it was circumventing. They were trying to get around the cap, or it was something
It was. It was one of those long-term circumventing deals where my understanding is the league had already sent out a memo like, hey, enough of this.
Right.
And Lou said, I'm disregarding this, and I'm going to do it anyway. And then retroactively, they hit him.
Yeah.
I was reading about this recently with, speaking of Lou, when the Blues gave the offer sheet to Scott Stevens.
Right.
The Blues had to pay a serious penalty because it came out that they had spoken to Stevens when he was still under contract.
Correct.
About signing in St. Louis. So these kind of things have happened on a much minor level.
I wonder how much this stuff happens. Like, agents, they're always calling presidents. They're always calling GMs. Like, Pat Brisson, you tell me you didn't call Brendan Shanahan last year? Hey, let's chat when the season's over.
Well, put it this
way.
They're
all talking to each other.
I
love this little period they have. The little chatting period.
The week before July 1st where they can all do business. But you can't talk money.
But
that's the best
part. Smart, though, because that actually gave the window of the backdoor channeling. Because July 1st, you and I are sitting there. And at noon, it gets announced.
The most complicated deal in the history of the world.
No move clause and that. Yeah. How did that get done in 1 minute?
Yeah, they accept reality that collusion was going to happen.
Exactly.
These parties were going to speak anyway. I think this would be a red flag for Jerry and the boys in New York. If Nylander and the Leafs sign a deal in the next week, but Michael Nylander, his dad, all of a sudden has a consultant gig with the Leafs where he's on the payroll for the next 5 years and no one knows exactly what he does, but they're paying him like $5 million cash to do it.
I won't say the junior team, but I know that...
He's the coach of the Marlies.
Yeah, I know for a fact that that happens in junior. And
well, apparently, Jamie, what happens in junior is come to... so-and-so to play, and we'll give you a full scholarship. And by the way, if you turn pro, your sister, Jenny...
She gets the scholarship instead of you, yeah.
That stuff happens.
It happens all the time. It happens in college football and basketball all the time, where you see is...
But it only happens with a certain amount of teams.
Well, and it happens with the teams that have the money.
That's right, because the other teams are like, oh, you turn pro, thank God I'm out of that.
Yeah. But in basketball and football recruiting in the States, a lot of times the coach of the high school team gets hired on by the school. So let's say it's Duke basketball. They'll go to some small town in Indiana and be like, listen, if you come to Duke, we'll bring the coach with you. And then all of a sudden the coach is like the seventh assistant making $250,000 cash.
Exactly.
Basically you can bring someone from home, you know them, blah, blah, blah.
Wasn't it Laramie Tunsil? That outed. Remember, he's like, I need some money for my mom's rent.
That was Ole Miss.
Yeah, it happens. I don't believe it happens at the National Hockey League level at all.
No, me neither. But it would be funny if it did.
I just think it would be a great story. And we all rave about how sharp Kyle Dubas is. Do you imagine if he had one of these? Quote unquote Lou tricks up of his sleeve.
There was people. I lived in North Carolina, and my buddy owned. I had multiple buddies that owned businesses, and I would go back to see them just to have a lunch or whatever. And you go back there, and there was a guy that was 7 feet tall, just sitting there on a laptop. I'm like, who's that guy? Ah, he plays for NC State. He's working for the company.
Oh yeah.
Really?
I've heard those. Everyone's heard those stories.
And I'm like, what is he actually doing? He's on his computer. He's playing games.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's just, he's working.
Yeah, because they're boosters, right? They have that kind of money.
That's exactly right.
They want the kids to come, and they're like, listen, we'll give you a job in the summer, and we're going to pay you $250,000.
And by the way, you don't have a job. You can sit on your computer.
I don't care what you do. You just have to show up like once a month.
That was like one of the first times. You know when you see something wrong going on? I was like, like who's that guy over there?
Something's not adding up.
I know.
It's a giant guy in the corner that just doesn't.
7 feet tall. I can't even fit in the room. Like, just giant. Who's that guy? Oh, he's one of our interns.
He's helping out.
Yeah, he's helping out. I'm like, I know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, it all adds up. I need this to play out like a Bond movie, or like The Italian Job.
Well,
like Bill Daly's in Switzerland trying to find Dubas, and Dubas is driving all over Zurich or wherever they are, and he's got just bags of cash for William Nylander.
Dubas has got a jacket with just cash stuck inside.
But if he signs for something that doesn't smell right, that's when you know.
$3.5 million per for 8 years. What happened in Switzerland?
Yeah.
William Nylander signs for the league minimum.
We have
for
to come up.
Years.
We have to come up with some different scenarios. Maybe we should put a poll out. If you know, if like what would send our radar up if
yes
coming out of that meeting?
Because there are a lot. There's a lot of potential things that could trigger the radar. I would say. And I don't know how to get a read on this, if it's a good sign, a bad sign. Everyone's got a different opinion. You know, we're in the dark in a lot of ways because no one knows what numbers are on the table, what
I don't
type
like
of
it.
Length is on the table.
You know why I don't like it? It smells to me that something's not going well.
I will say this. Everyone's like, oh, this is great for Kyle Dubas to go to whatever, Europe, Switzerland, yeah. Sweden. But I think this is the last-ditch effort. Like, this
face
is it.
Face-to-face, here we go.
Before
here we
what? Go. They trade him?
No, but
the well, last yeah. What else point? Can happen? December 1st. Everyone's like, "Oh, you got time to." December 1st is around the corner, isn't it?
6 weeks away. 6 weeks.
So what the hell's going to happen after this? Where
I think,
and he probably can't be going by himself, can he?
No, I would imagine he. Like I would think. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Michael Nylander is representing. William,
who
right?
cares?
He's in the room.
He's
the dad.
He's guy's dad.
He's a part of the council. I don't
but
know.
But then
what
there's the lawyer.
His dad Lewis, gets so much.
Lewis Gross. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're in the room, but I mean, for somebody have to jump on a plane and go meet for face to face. Isn't that what Babcock did with Austin Matthews? Like to me, something there's. You don't want lost in translation. You don't want. I think they want to sit in a room and lay it all out there.
Well.
And to me, it's not going well.
Well, from my standpoint, and again,
I think it's not going well too. And I think this is the last effort. Like it's like okay.
I don't think it's the last effort.
Oh,
I mean,
what do you think they're going to meet again in November?
But I think in reality, this is all speculation.
Yeah,
I would guess Dubas wanted this to happen. That's why I think he's going to Europe. I think if William Nylander was like, I got to get to Toronto, he'd be on a bird to Toronto.
Right.
I think Dubas is trying to get face to face with Nylander. And try to explain his plan again and trigger some sort of emotion out of the kid.
Sell the program.
Sell the program. Sell how important he is to the team. He's not going to give him a guarantee that he'll never be traded, but I'm sure he's trying to intimate, hey, you're not going anywhere. We're not fielding questions.
Right.
Don't worry about taking the deal and getting traded. You know, we're goofing around about this duffel bag stuff, but I would think a part of the sales pitch should also be, hey, listen, if you're a Leaf for a long time and you make... And you win with this team, you're going to make a fortune for a long time in this city.
Right.
You know, you go to 5 golf tournaments in the summer when you're 45 years old, you're going to make 250 grand like that.
Yeah.
You know, appearance fees and all that kind of stuff. You can't get that elsewhere. But I don't think it's a last-ditch effort.
I go to
effort.
5 golf tournaments and I don't make
Yeah,
that.
But with all due respect, you were there for 2 years and you didn't play a playoff game. I'm saying if they win the cup and Nylander's a big part of it, then it's a different story.
Well, and the
you know there's a discrepancy between how much certain guys get paid and how much other guys get paid.
And the deals weren't that lucrative back then. Nowadays, I think people will pay that to have players of that ilk show up. But it's... We're not... I mean, William Nylander's not going to be... Regardless of what he signs for, he's not going to be struggling for cash.
No.
He's going to more just be looking at, I think he's a guy who has a high value of himself and says, I'm not signing for a penny less than this because I believe I'm that.
And that's fine, and but this is why, again, I don't think this is a last-ditch effort.
Because
even if you don't get a deal done, William Nylander isn't playing in the NHL. Like,
yeah.
If he was so flippant about playing in the NHL, he'd already be playing in Sweden.
I think
he'd
it's
already
last
be playing
ditch.
In the KHL.
Right. I think it's last ditch.
I don't
from
I,
the Leafs side of it.
I think it might trigger the Leafs adjusting
for
their plan.
For someone to fly to Europe to say, hey, let's meet face-to-face, he's not doing it again.
You think I'm not saying he's doing it again, but I'm saying I don't think he's going to be on a flight home being like, that's it, he's done, we have to trade him by the end of the week.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's last ditch. I don't think it's to that extent. I don't think it would be that extreme. But he might fly home. Dubas might fly home and be like, you know what? I got to start accepting some offers, like listening to stuff.
Of course you
Maybe
do.
I have
you're
to.
You're going to get the lay of the land.
But by all accounts, he hasn't been doing it. Like, all our insiders, LeBron was saying it today, Dregs was saying it today. By all accounts, teams have called them. Of course they've called them.
Yeah,
and Dubas has said, I'm not fielding offers. I'm not trading him.
Yeah,
maybe
but
changes.
If he goes there and he looks the guy in the eye and his dad, if his dad's there, and the agent, and things are not working out, maybe he gets on the plane back home and says, you know what? Now I am listening because this is not going to work. If they're stuck on their principle, and we all know the numbers, and if they're stuck on that and they're not moving...
Well, here's another thought on that. Sounds like, and this is how it should be, the agent and Dubas have been dealing it. Like, Kyle's not talking to William Nylander. That's Nylander will say, talk to my agent.
Oh, yeah.
So it's probably, hey, I want to get everyone in the room and let's have a chat. I would do that. I think it's smart by Kyle Dubas to do that. Go and sit down, as you mentioned, look everyone in the eyes, say, hey, this is where we're at. This isn't an ugly negotiation. This is our business plan. You've got a business plan. Let's try and figure out a common ground here to get William back playing for us, and because he's a big part of this. Like, it's rational thought. I don't believe it's a last-ditch effort, but it certainly is. It's a big olive branch to fly across and say, hey, this is, you know, the train's rolling. Like, you can clearly see it. Team's averaging 5 goals a game. Things are well. Everyone's talking about, you know, extending cabin and blah, blah, blah. That's not the case. I think Kyle's going to lay it out for him and say, nothing's changed from our perspective. We're just trying to fit you in to our pyramid financial.
Do you think a PowerPoint presentation will be a part of this? Do you think Kyle Dubas is going to fire up the...
You want to lay it out?
People, like, text me, email me saying there's rumblings of his dad when his brother played in Mississauga, Alex, and he was like, I got to be on the bench.
Well, his dad was on the bench in Mississauga.
Yeah. How do you think that happens?
Well, no kidding.
I wonder if Michael's a lunatic, his dad.
I don't know anything about him.
Hockey dads are crazy.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Oh, you want to draft my son playing the OHL? Okay, do that. I'll be on the bench.
But I, you know.
Well, but let's give him some more credit than the standard dad. The guy played in the league for 15 years.
So what? I know 100 guys that played in the league. They don't go on the bench.
I'm not even talking about the bench. I'm talking about, you know, the NHL.
Rationale.
Like, the guy he actually played. He's been through contract negotiations.
And was a very good player. Very good player. I'm just saying, like, I don't know how I would react if my son was like that. Like, I wonder if I would be...
Jamie, like, just don't be like everybody we played with. Everybody that plays the game, they're like, these hockey dads nowadays, they're crazy. Then their kids get old, guess what they become?
It's
more crazy than the crazy hockey dad.
We all morph into our parents. Like, that's the way it always goes.
I was talking to our
buddy. Was your dad a crazy hockey dad?
No. Well, he had passion for it. He liked, you know.
Was he the guy in the glass just smack, like?
No, but.
Come on, Brian.
That doesn't mean the guy who's.
Try to be good.
But, dude, the guy who was quiet, you don't think he was still, like, engaged and wanted his kid to be, you know, put in very good opportunities?
My dad was all about support, but he was very quiet. He kind of.
But if he felt like you were being taken advantage of, he wouldn't be like, hey, that's okay. Like, he would have stepped in for you.
My dad yelled at one person in the whole building. Do you know who that guy was? Me.
Yeah.
If I was in the penalty box and took stupid penalties, he would literally yell across the rink,
really?
Shut the F up and sit in the penalty box and shut up. And I was like, okay, my dad just embarrassed me.
My parents never ever yelled once. Like, my parents sat off in the corner. I knew exactly where they were sitting.
My dad too. But if I did something stupid, that was the only time he ever did something.
Never
not won. The ref, not the coach. He was not on the bench.
Yeah, I never had a parent coach me or anything like that. But that's not what's going on here. I mean, and that's,
do you think Billy was in the corner like, come on, Brian, be better?
Oh, he would absolutely be emotionally triggered one way or the other, I'm sure. Like every parent. But that's the point. We all have kids. Wait till all of our kids start playing stuff. We all talk a big game, but when you're going to be engaged.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a reality.
I hope they accomplish something at this meeting, because I think it's It's very possible.
It's better than nothing, at the very least.
Exactly.
I think it's more of a positive than a negative. But
that both sides are even getting together. That's great.
Raptors in action tonight. Raps Cavs down at the Scotiabank Arena, and Kawhi makes his official debut as a Raptor. First time he's playing as a Raptor at the Scotiabank as well. He didn't play at all in the preseason there. Bobby Webster, the Raps GM, will join us in about 10 minutes. Cool piece in the Sun detailing the way the Kawhi deal went down. We'll get him to give us more info into that. We'll get him to tee up the season. The Cavs are in town. That's coming up on TSN Radio this evening. You can watch it on TSN. Bobby Webster in about 10 minutes.
You made fun of me, Brian, about me not getting money at events. I was in a car with an alumni. And the speakerphone came on. And they asked the alumni if they'd come to an event. They'd give them 10 grand.
Yes?
And I'm like, man, that's pretty sweet. My phone rang after that. Same person said, we'd love you to come to the event. I'll give you 1,500. I was like, as much as I want to support like a charity, I'm like, excuse me, I'm sitting beside, like, I know what I just heard.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
$8,500 difference between your presence and whoever else that was.
And I don't care about the event. I'm not going to name the event, the player that I was sitting beside. But it's like, I heard the number and it's like.
Well, if it's a. Yeah, okay, that's fair. Well, let's leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that, but that one would sting, I would
think. That would sting, because there are a bunch of outliers, like, put it that way.
That would
hurt. Like, they'd be like, yeah, it's Austin Matthews you were sitting with, or you know what I mean?
That would be understandable.
That would be understandable.
If you're sitting beside...
Yeah, Aki Berg.
Yeah, Aki Berg, then you need to relocate. Yeah, you were Aki.
It's all good, buddy.
You were Aki Berg.
I'd pay you more to show up.
Anyway,
we appreciate your presence.
They didn't budge. I didn't go.
Sorry,
that's
man.
The best part. They didn't budge. You didn't. So
well, on principle, I'm like, I love the charity. I like everything going on here, but this guy's getting 10 G's and you're going to give me
maybe
one?
Maybe you needed a summit.
Yes.
Maybe he had to fly in or drive up to King City, sit down with you at a table and
you should have met somewhere in between.
Exactly.
Switzerland.
You should have met somewhere in between King City and downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
Wherever that would be.
Etobicoke.
Yeah, that's the wrong way.
North York.
You should have met around Young and Finch.
Right there.
That's what should have happened.
Grotzi in Midtown.
Yep, had to happen. All right, Raptors in action tonight. And Dave Naylor just posted something. I don't know if he was joking or not. But he's down at Scotiabank, and they're going to be tailgating, and people will be outside at Jurassic Park. And there's a big sign welcoming the fans. And then there's another sign that says, no smoking. And he's pointing out that today, you know, people can smoke weed legally, but he just said more to come on SportsCenter.
Here's a question, and that's what I know we beat it to death yesterday. We don't need to get into it, but say you go to an event now that sells beer.
Yeah, like you can drink weed. Beer in the hallways. Are you allowed to smoke weed in the hallway?
No, because beer doesn't like permeate the way that smoke does.
Right.
You know, there's a fragrance that comes with it.
But who has decided that? Like,
but here's another thing.
The permeation.
The league as well. The league will say you're not allowed to do it.
Next May, we're going to, let's say, Jurassic Park or go to Maple Leaf Square. And they've got a beer tent there where they have a...
Like a hot box tent?
By the way, Jamie, they've made a rule at Maple Leaf Square. You can't smoke outside.
No.
You can't leave a game and have a dart and come back in. So you're not doing the other thing.
Yeah, you're not doing it. Fair. There's no way.
Let's leave it at that.
All right, Bobby Webster, GM of the Raps in 2 minutes. Big night tonight. Kawhi Leonard making his regular season debut. Danny Green doing that as well for the Raptors. Nick Nurse, his first official game as a head coach. And the expectations are through the roof. We knew this coming into the season, regardless of what happens tonight, and I expect they win big against Cleveland. It's a strange kind of vibe when it comes to Cleveland because this was a rival. It was kind of a one-way street, but the Raptors and Raptors fans wanted it to be a rival and right. bought into the rivalry because they played them in the playoffs every single year, even though they always lost. But now that LeBron is gone... I don't sense any rivalry whatsoever. Like, Cleveland immediately, overnight, became irrelevant. That speaks to the significance of LeBron.
Yeah.
Like, overnight, they are irrelevant. They have no shot at winning anything. None.
And the respect factor for that organization has gone down, technically, from player to player. If you're the Raptors, you're not afraid of that organization anymore because of LeBron. But that's not just the Raptors. That's Boston, that's Philly.
Any of the U.S. shows that, you know, do sports, you don't even hear Cleveland at all.
And for the past 4 years, they were the most talked about team in the NBA.
That's
them
all
and Golden
was.
State. You know, it was all Cleveland, it was all Golden State, and now it's the Lakers because of LeBron. You know, that speaks to his brand and his legacy. But the Cavs still have some players that you don't want to sleep on.
Right.
You know, like Kevin Love is still there, Tristan Thompson's still there. But they just have no shot at winning the East. It will not happen.
Yeah, they're not there.
You know, Boston made their debut last night against Philly, and they just crushed the Sixers. And that Boston team is loaded.
Yeah.
They're built like Golden State in terms of their versatility, in terms of the way they can defend, the way they can shoot. They're a really good team. So the Raps, I expect they'll be a top two or three team in the East. I think Boston will be there. It's just who else is going to come along for the ride?
Yeah.
Will it be Philly? Will it be Indiana? We'll have to wait and see. Milwaukee's getting a lot of love. Dwayne Casey making his debut tonight as well for Detroit. That'll be a team we've got to track.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to send him some love. Great guy, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, yes.
Saw the rings being presented last night. Are they ever going to give a ring to a team that wins? Like the Golden State Warriors rings, I think it unscrewed or something. Like, did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
It was goofy.
Well, they're trying to get creative, right? Every year.
I think the top of the Golden State Warriors rings, like, it unscrews and there's something underneath.
Becomes a necklace or what?
Dude, I don't know. I think I saw that. I was not. But
were you celebrating legalized cannabis last night? Is that what was happening?
Al just said it's magnetized and reversible.
Wow. Is that cool or
but
what?
But can they ever make a ring that like is wearable, like normal?
No, you never see that.
But what if they
it's
made a
gaudy,
stinky
and
little ring? That would be terrible.
Just make a normal one.
Yeah. Here's the GM of the Raptors, Bobby Webster. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
We're doing well. We're just arguing about meaningless stuff, quite frankly.
I don't know. I thought those rings were kind of cool.
You thought that was cool? Would you support that if you guys win the title this year or what?
Well, I think, as you guys said, they have the luxury of now they've had a few, so now they can start doing different stuff. So,
yeah.
But do you think that's even like something you like? I don't know if you're a jewelry guy. I kind of am, but you can't really wear that out, can you?
I guess if you have two and this is your third, you know, this is like your third option one. You know, you want to have something different.
Yeah, you bring this one out like once
you
a
win,
decade.
You wear it. That's the way I see it. You win, you wear it, regardless of the size.
Yeah. I guess.
I guess if you wear it, you can just flip it around and show everybody. I think it's like you can. What I saw last night is one side is team and one side is player. So if you want to show the team and then you flip it, and it can just be your individual one.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
It's a little bit unique, anyway.
Dude, this thing is the size of your computer top, though. You
well,
can't
dude, literally. you're not gonna go down to Swarovski's and be like, give me a ring that we can wear out to the club or whatever.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way. Anyway, we're in conversation with the GM of the Raptors, Bobby Webster.
Can I have the first question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bobby, when you brought in Kawhi, there was a lot of talk about Kyle Lowry, what he thought. I mean, if I'm in management, I don't really care what other players think, but everything's sensitive today. Everybody's sensitive. Did you have to go to him and say, this is the best for the team? Or did you talk to him at all because he seemed to be a little bit pissed off? It's his best friend. How did you handle that situation?
You know, it's always a tough part, and I talked to a few people yesterday about it, and you know, it's tough. You know, the guy, you know, DeMar's part of our family, and you go to war with him for, you know, 5 years, and he was here longer than that, and so that's the tough part. But as far as, you know, getting a player like Kawhi and the caliber of him, I think, you know, our goal is to win a championship. Kyle's goal is to win a championship, and our goal is to give us the best chance to win one. So I think in that respect, you know, he can see what we were trying to do there.
There was a really cool piece that you were featured in the Sun today, Steve Simmons, kind of detailing the Kawhi trade, and it started with a phone call the week of the NBA draft, and eventually it obviously got done. But in terms of DeMar DeRozan and his role in that trade. We know that he became the primary piece from you guys going the opposite way. But was his name involved in that deal from day one? Was it a week later, 2 weeks later? At what point did DeMar become the focal point of that trade in terms of who was going to San Antonio?
Well, yeah, I told the guys yesterday you would have to go back and check all the phone records. It's interesting. You know, I think it's a very interesting part of the business that, you know, you guys and the fans and everyone are interested in. And I would just say this, like, a lot of names get discussed in a lot of deals, right? And so, you know, a deal of that magnitude, as you can imagine, you're discussing, you know, probably half of each team's roster. And so it's hard to say, you know, who was first, who was second. Was this always the deal? I mean, we went through, you know, probably in, you know, numerous permutations of the deal. So in that sense, I can't sit here and say, well, this is exactly how it went. You know, even in my mind, like, what's the exact timeline? I'm not really sure.
Obviously, you're aware of the narrative when it comes to Kawhi. He's got 1 year left on his deal, and I'm assuming you guys would like to see him stick around for a long, long time, but there's only so much yourself and Masai can do. You guys aren't in the room. You're not on the court. You might be on the plane from time to time, but how much of the courting process when it comes to Kawhi is going to have to come from his teammates?
I think it's going to come from the organization. I mean, his teammates, his coaches, the staff, management, ownership. You know, I think you know, there's so many touch points to Kawhi throughout the season, whether it's, you know, during the summer, during the season, on the road, All-Star weekend. You know, there's so many of them. And so he ends up touching, I think, as you can probably imagine, you know, the entire organization, some folks on the business side, some folks in the community. And so in that sense, I think we're just really proud of what we built here and what Toronto and Canada has to offer. And so in that sense, I think it's as probably all-encompassing as it could be. And I think that's our message to everyone is, you know, show Kawhi how great of a city this is. We'll show him how great of an organization it is. And we'll just be true to who we are.
We were pumping the tires of Golden State prior to having you on, and they've received that treatment for a few years. And I was impressed with Boston last night, too, because they're built in a similar fashion, different players, but they've got a lot of guys who are versatile. They defend, they shoot. In terms of the way you're building your team, with Kawhi coming in, OG Anunoby and his growth, how versatile do you believe your group is, considering the way the game is played today?
You hit it exactly. I mean, it's what Golden State, to a degree, I wouldn't say they invented, but they kind of won at the highest level doing it. It's what you see Boston, how they started the game yesterday on the wings, and it's kind of similar to how we are. I wouldn't say this is all by design. I think everyone would say we'd love to have, you know, 3, 6, 8 wings that can play two ways on your team, and that's easier said than done. But I do think this team is the most versatile that I've been a part of.
What kind of a role do you expect Kawhi to play on both sides of the court? I guess what I'm trying to get to is what kind of an impact will he have, or what will his biggest impact be, offensively or defensively?
You know, I think he came into the league and he hung his hat on defense, and he's been defensive player of the year, and those were the accolades. But, I mean, offensively, he has worked, you know, as hard as anyone, and you guys will see it. And people started to see it, I think, towards the end of his time in San Antonio, just how precise, how much he works in the offseason. Everything's at game speed. Everything is contested on his offensive moves. And so I think now maybe that might surprise people who haven't watched him a ton, just because he has such a defensive reputation.
It's Raptors-Cavs tonight down at Scotiabank. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Watch it on TSN. We're chatting with the GM of the Raps, Bobby Webster. Obviously, big news throughout the country today. Cannabis became officially legal, but it is still illegal in terms of the CBA and the NBA. Do you have conversations with your players about the use of marijuana? And if so, what is the reaction to those conversations?
Yeah, you know, the Canadian laws or the individual state laws in the U.S. don't govern the NBA rules. So those are pretty clear. But as far as educating them, you know, it's an ongoing thing. And then when guys come into the league, the NBA is really good at doing a transition program. We have awareness meetings, you know, throughout the year here that are run by our staff, but also the NBA will send in experts. So I'd say it's nothing different. I think it's more of a, noteworthy event for our players to know that that's the change. But I think it happened in Colorado and they have the Nuggets there. So nothing new as far as we're being the first in the NBA, but you always want to keep your guys educated and up to date on you know, current events and especially, you know, things like this.
Game one tonight. We're looking forward to it. Enjoy it. Best of luck this season. Thank you for doing this, Bobby.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
There's Bobby Webster, GM of the Raps. Raptors, Cleveland tonight.
Be a good one.
I like him. He's a good interview. Kind of gives a little bit of something, something.
Well, he's a younger guy, right? He's one of those up-and-comers, and Masai is the guy with his with the final say, right. You know. And Masai is the guy who's ultimately pulling the trigger on the biggest moves. But Bobby Webster,
all due respect, I think he does more of the paperwork type stuff.
Well, in this piece that Simmons wrote, I think detailed the role that a guy like Webster would play. Like, right. he would initiate a lot of stuff. He would make do a lot of the grunt work. He makes a lot of the calls. And
like, Masai wasn't sleeping, and Bobby Webster traded for Kawhi Leonard.
No, of course not.
Yeah,
Masai woke up and was like, oh, what?
What a deal.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, obviously that isn't happening, but...
But that's the thing. Brendan Shanahan wasn't sleeping when John Tavares signed here either.
Exactly. Like, Dubas played a role, but Shanahan played a role too.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's the new era in sports.
It is. It's tandems. And it's by committee. It's not just one guy sitting up in an ivory tower. There is so many different layers of teams now that you can rely on.
Yeah, there's people that sit in a room and say, here's my idea. Can you make it work?
Yeah.
And I think that's good. That's what you're supposed to do.
But the narrative, too.
Because sometimes people have ideas that are stupid. And you need somebody to say, this cannot work, and it's stupid.
Yeah. But there are also ideas that come up, and you have to circle back on them 4 months later. Like, hey, we like that player. Not available now, but if he ever becomes available, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would be a nice fit here, you know, contractually, or where that guy would fit into the system. So... That's the type of chats you have in those, you know, boardrooms as well. Is you're constantly looking at the team right now, but you're also looking in the future. This is what Kyle Dubas and Pridham and his staff, Lawrence Gilman, they're all sitting there saying, okay, this is what our team looks like right now, but Patrick Marleau's 39. Who's going to, you know, and 1 year left on his deal. Who's going to take that left wing spot?
Like, I think it'd be fascinating to get a look at the whiteboard with the Leafs and with the Raps. Like, the Raps, I guarantee you, they have Kawhi signs, and this is where we go.
Yeah.
Kawhi leaves, and
Plan
this
B.
is where we go.
Yeah, you have to.
Like, you have to. You can't get caught with your pants down on July 1st, 2019, where Kawhi's like, I'm out, and you're like, oh, really? I thought you were going to stick around. This really causes us problems in terms of what we're going to do moving forward.
And the plan changes as things change as well. Like, it's not just one plan you stick to. You have to be able to adapt as things change.
Ray's coming up just after 5. Jerry's percentages at 5:30.